Well, good morning, everyone. Just thinking also what Willie had shared. Just thinking of the goodness of God in my life. I was wanting to go through Psalms 39. Just thoughts and things I had of it, of just thinking of my own life. How great our God is, that we still have His Word today to learn, to teach. He is a sovereign God, and we won't be able to put on paper of His goodness. So I want to read it, and then I would like to just go back through and maybe expound on some things. I know I won't exhaust it, and these are just some of my own thoughts. Some verses that came to mind. So with that, I'll start reading verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days. What is it that I may know how frail I am? What it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as the handbreadth, and my age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best day is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thy hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Back to verse 1. This, the New Living, it says, I said to myself, I will watch what I do and sin, and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. I was thinking, in James, it talks about the unruly tongue and how much trouble my tongue can get me into. And as Willie also shared about being misunderstood at times, but let's have grace for one another. Let's continue to press on. I'm going to read in James 3, 5 to 12. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men, which made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, either a vine figs? Or can no fountain bring both yield? Sorry. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? You know, just thinking how in verse 8 that really caught my attention. It says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is only with the help of God that it is possible. That is the only way. And the Lord help me with that. Verse 2. So, but I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things. The turmoil within me grew worse. Isn't that how it is at times? We vow to be silent, but we're wrestling inside, and it's just boiling. Help us to meditate and think upon what God would want us to do in those situations. Verse 3. And when I'm reading these verses again, I have them on my paper here. They're in the New Living Translation. So, the more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. It's like a fire inside of me that I just have to say something. And so I said it. Verse 4. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. Just thinking of the hand breadth, you know, the width of your hand is life. It is like a vapor, in James, it tells us. You can see it for a little, then it's gone. Verse 5, you have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just before moments too, sorry, let me read that over. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each of us is but a breath. In James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanish away. Let us consider, all of us consider our life. I'm thinking of, was it a week ago or so, the accident there down in Bern, where there's four people were killed. One was the dad, then he had two sons, and then another young man. I forget the youngest one, he's maybe a teenager, high teens maybe. And the dad was 50s, I believe it was. I'm not exactly sure on the age. But we're not promised tomorrow or the very next breath here. If we really stop and think about it, we're not promised our very next breath. Where are we at with the Lord? Where will we spend eternity? Verse 6. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. That really, as I was I read that verse, I really thought of that, the last part of it. We're really just a shadow. That's how our life is. And we're busy trying to, we're busy rushing, and it ends up in nothing. And we heap up this wealth, we gain wealth. For who to spend? I won't be spending it. What are we doing with our time? It's just a, yeah. As we live, we are just like shadows. We work to get things for ourselves. We may get a lot of money, but we don't know who will have it after we die. Verse 7. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. In Psalms 42, verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted with me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God, because he is my hope. That's why. That we can praise him. Verse 8. Rescue me from all my rebellion. Do not let fools mock me. It says, save me from all my, it says, in the King James says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Deliver me from my sins. Save me from all my sins. Verse 9. I am silent before you. I won't say a word. For my punishment is from you. Let's think of times when we really go through some trials. Let's think of it as God's goodness to us. That if we have sin in our lives, that we can see his goodness. I was thinking of in 2 Samuel 16, where Shimei curses David. I'll read some of those verses. You don't have to turn to that. Starting on verse 5. As King David came to Bahurim, a man came out of the village cursing them. It was Shimei, son of Gera, from the same clan as Saul's family. He threw stones at the king and the king's officers and all the mighty warriors who surrounded him. Get out of here, you murderer, you scoundrel, he shouted at David. The Lord is paying you back for all the bloodshed in Saul's clan. You stole his throne, and now the Lord has given it to your son Absalom. At last, you will taste some of your own medicine. You are a murderer. Why should this dead dog curse? Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Abishai, son of Zeruiah, demanded, let me go over and cut off his head. And this is the verse that I was wanting to get to. Verse 10, it says, no, the king said. Who asked your opinion? You are the sons of Zeruiah. If the Lord has told him to curse me, who are you to stop him? Then David said to Abishai and to all his servants, my own son is trying to kill me. Doesn't this relative of Saul have even more reason to do so? Leave him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him to do it. And perhaps the Lord will see that I am being wrong and will bless me because of these curses. So David and his men continued down the road, and Shimei kept pace with them on the nearby hillside, cursing and throwing stones and dirt at David. The king and all who were with him grew weary along the way, so they rested when they reached the Jordan River. Let's think of when we go through trying times, and let's think of it as the Lord's hand upon us to purify us, to become closer to Him, to walk in His ways and not of our own. And let's count that as joy to knowing His goodness of these things. Verse 10. But please stop striking me. I am exhausted by the blows of your hand. And made me think of in Job. Now read. It's in Job 13. And Job asks how he had sinned, how he has sinned. verse 20, I'll start. O God, grant me these two things. Then I will be able to face you. Remove your heavy hand from me. Don't terrify me with your awesome presence. Now summon me, and I will answer. Or let me speak to you, and you reply. Tell me, what have I done wrong? Show my rebellion and my sin. Why do you turn away from me? Why do you treat me as an enemy? Would you terrify a leaf blown by the wind? Would you chase dry straw? You write bitter accusation against me and bring up all the sins of my youth. You put my feet in stocks. You examine all my paths. You trace all my footprints. I waste away like rotting wood, like moth, like a moth-eaten coat. Sometimes we do feel weary. Like Job, he said, let me ask you and reply to me. I want to hear what you have. What have I done wrong? And those are good and right places to be. That is to have a heart when we are going through trials. Say, Lord, help me to see, what is it? Is it something in my life? Where could I be a help? What, you know, whatever may come to your mind. Verse 11, when you discipline us for our sins, you consume like a moth which is precious to us. Each of us is but a breath. When people do wrong things, you warn them, you punish them, you destroy their valuable things, like the moth eats cloth. Yes, our lives are only a breath. Verse 12, hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cries for help. Don't ignore my tears, for I am your guest, a traveler passing through, as my ancestors were before me. Thinking of I think in the Hebrews talks about, let me just turn to that, I think. I think it's in Hebrews 11. Yeah, it talks about the faith of the ones before us. Says that they seen it in the distance. It says all these people had died and they didn't receive what was promised. They didn't see that, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed they were all foreigners and strangers in this land. And think of my own life, do I see that I'm a stranger in this land? Or is this my home? Are we just passing through? Or are we trying to make this our eternal dwelling? Just a thought of my own life here. In 1 Peter 3:12 says, "The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face." So let's just remember to be to have our sight in thoughts, in our life, lined up so we're not getting off of our path to heaven. Be careful. Let's be careful not to take this exit where we will stand in hell for eternity. Let's be strangers and pilgrims in this land. And let's try to keep that in our mind as we go about our days here. And verse 13, "Leave me alone so I can smile again before I'm gone and exist no more." He's crying out to the Lord for help. And in Psalms 102, "Let this be the record for future generations, so that a people not yet born will praise the Lord. Tell them that the Lord looked down from his heavenly sanctuary. He looked down to the earth from heaven to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to die. And as the Lord's fame will be celebrated in Zion, his praises in Jerusalem, when the multitudes gathered together and kingdoms come to worship the Lord, he broke my strength in midlife, cutting short my days. But I cried to him, 'Oh my God, who lives forever, don't take my life while I'm so young. Long ago you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing, and you will change them like a garment and discard them. But you are always the same, and you live forever. The children of your people will live in security. Their children's children will thrive in your presence.'" And we can remember, no matter whatever we may be going through, that God is always the same, and he will never change. And that is a comfort. That can be a comfort to the believers. And it should be fearful for the ones who are not right with the Lord. So that's all I would have. Lord bless you. If there was something that said or didn't make quite sense, I'd be more than willing to hear that. So may the Lord bless each one.